I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
It's the month of March, and this month, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, Trey Barrera, Conrad, Luke and Sarah, Dave Malfara, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, Stanton Valentino, Aaron Layton, Crystal Trujillo, John Collins Goes, Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and Enza.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
My name is Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, continuing our coverage of Yellow Jackets, this time episode 8. We are slowly encroaching upon the season 1 finale in anticipation of having our cheeks ripped by Yellow Jackets season 2 here shortly on March 24th for Showtime streamers, which is 99% of the world. And then the 1% of you that are still using your Dish subscription. Yeah, the 1% is you get
tell
it on March 26th.
Tell him, Bernie.
Mm-hmm. I've got 99% of the dick in the room.
I am once again asking you to get Showtime on your app so you can watch it early on Friday and not have to wait for that bullshit to drop on Sunday.
That's right.
Some of us have jobs and we have the Sunday scaries, okay? And we do not want to stay up late watching Yellow Jackets that late on a Sunday.
It's true.
It's my favorite show, but I digress.
That's very true. Thank you, Bernie, for hopping in to help us plug Yellow Jacket season 2. We are almost there, folks. Please send in your emails to streamingthingspod@gmail.com. We're going to do a big mailbag.
Mailbag.
Madison's getting in on it.
To celebrate all of the stuff that happened in season 1 and have you guys write in your different hot takes on what transpired, but also make predictions for season 2 of Yellow Jackets. I have not even watched the season 2 trailer that dropped a few days ago yet. Same I'm not typically a trailer watcher because it spoils things sometimes. But, you know, I got faith in the Yellow Jackets team. Plus, in my life as a content creator, let's be honest, I've had to start watching trailers from time to time just to be part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a tough business to be in. Mm-hmm. You know, if you make some of your living talking about TV shows, Madison, you got to watch trailers.
Got to watch those trailers.
Like,
man.
Hey, Chris, did you see that trailer? Nope, I didn't. Yeah.
Sounds like a conversation we had earlier.
That's verbatim.
Yes.
You were wanting to talk about it.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
I said, Chris, come on.
She gets like a very northeastern accent when I don't watch trailers. Come on.
I got two words for you. Come on.
Get out of here.
Get out of here, man.
I'm walking here.
That's
so,
three words.
I actually finished watching episode 8, Flight of the Bumblebee, today. Very well done.
That is good. Much better than
Come on.
Chris,
say my name. Say my name. Say my name.
Jesus Christ. My dog's just trying to break an B&E in my closet.
Come on.
Hey.
You invoke the name of the Lord? Laura Lee's upset. I'm miffed.
Don't bring Laura Lee into it. Not this episode.
Too soon. Yeah, this is one of my favorite episodes, I think. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about our overall thoughts on the episode, go around the room. Then we'll do a play-by-play, scene-by-scene. What's it called?
Recap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I froze because I looked down at my notes and I was going to say this later. But this episode's interesting because they cut very quickly between timelines, I think. Like, there's usually some meat in each timeline before they cut, but this is like one scene, then back to 2021, one scene, back to 1996. And it's like the pacing is much different.
My notes are, if you look at my notes, they're like 96, 2021.
It's just a bunch of one sentence, right?
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
So that's one interesting thing, but then we'll cap it all off. We'll talk about our three favorite moments of the episode, go around the table. We'll talk about some Easter eggies, little things we found, songs, tidbits, t-shirts, posters, whatever from the '90s, and then cap it all off with our favorite performance of the episode.
Who will it be?
We don't know yet.
Will we get a buzz and a buzz?
I hope so. The
trifecta. We're on a hot streak.
Of buzzes, if you will. Mm. Natalie, that's not what we're talking about. Calm down. She's like, ooh, I love buzzes. Give me three different ones at once. You need help.
She does.
Call Thaisa.
Yeah.
All right, let's dive right in. Madison, what did you think of episode 8, Flight of the Bumblebee?
So Bumblebee again, tuna. Something I think I may continue. My 3-word/short sentence recap to kind of encapsulate the episode. I have Caligula, Ty and Shauna talks, and then fiery Laura Lee, which is two double meaning. But kind of what you said, how this episode was your favorite. I also think this one is my favorite. There are a lot of things go into this episode. Also, similar to last episode, I was still very intrigued by the 2021 timeline, more so than I was the 96 timeline. Maybe that's not a shared view, but the 96 still had some good moments. But again, we're starting to really get into the meat of it now. And this episode does a really, really good job at beginning the meat of the threads and plots.
Give me the meat. Give it to me raw. I threw a little Bernie on that Durin.
I prefer a raw steak.
It means you didn't have to use your oven.
My father's never going to trust me to run the dwarves.
He's held back. He's holding us back. Mm. The dwarves can delve deeper and more greedily. That's what I'm for. Some people say there's a Balrog under there. I say bullshit. Keep digging.
Steve, what are your thoughts on episode 8?
Guys, you know me.
Steve.
I love love.
You do?
And I'm feeling the love for this episode.
Okay.
So I think this might be my favorite episode too so far. Wow.
Across the board.
We got a buzz.
Oh, a triple buzz.
Buzz.
Damn.
No, I really, really did enjoy this episode. This was kind of like continuation from last episode. I was also more invested with the modern plot than the 90s plot, which is a flip from what's been previously.
A flop.
But the stuff that was happening in the 90s was really, really good. And I think the ending, the sort of like climax of this episode had me literally like jumping out of my seat almost for a very particular reason. Like, oh, the thing. And that's the first time I think this show has happened where they like do a reveal and I sat up and pointed and said, that was a reveal that I like. Well, I mean, I like other reveals, but this one, like, I don't know.
Really liked
for
it.
For some reason, this specific reveal, like, hit me in my pleasure centers.
Sure.
And hit me there hard.
Sure.
Like, it found the spot and it went to town. And I was like, there it is. That's a reveal. I love it.
Yeah.
More of it.
Okay. So many puns. Caligula. Came through my head.
Also, we got to see Caligula. We got to see him. I'm so happy.
In peril.
I don't know why I went like John Travolta from the 70s there. Like, I love Caligula.
I just pictured you in some tiny shorts.
I know.
Did you do that too? Doing with the thing.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But Steve.
And they laugh.
I echo that as well. I think it's really fascinating how excited I am because this is episode 8. So we've still got the penultimate and the finale to cooking up. And already things are just... all cylinders firing.
Then there's definitely a couple characters cooking up in this episode. Yeah. So
indeed, right off the bat. Mm-hmm. So let's dive in. Let's get into it. I can tell we're all excited. So the show opens in 1996. Thaisa is quite literally carrying the torch. They linger upon that, right? Mm-hmm. She's trying really hard. She's feeling a lot of pressure. All the light is on her. All eyes on us, I believe. Is that Brittany?
All eyes on me.
All eyes on No. You don't remember that song? All eyes on us.
Oh no.
And in the club, it's a Black Eyed Peas. Maybe you guys don't know that song. We talk about Evanescence as long as we want.
Well, Evanescence.
I need a better person to give me some.
A better person.
Excuse me, not a better person. I need a better example. Better example Chris, of what you're talking
Chris,
about.
You haven't been batting 1,000 today in terms of musical reference. When you tried to sing Flight of the Bumblebee earlier today.
That's accurate, dude. That shit is spot on. Try before you deny, man. But Thais is carrying the torch. She turns out she's lighting a funeral pyre for Van, her girlfriend and friend. And we see from Van's point of view, shadowy figures of her friends and the night sky, very confused and befuddled. And then she's alive, but she's already on fire. And I think is it Mari that notices that she's alive?
I think it's Mari, yeah.
She stirs, and then so they have to physically roll her off the pyre.
She's alive!
And then she goes, really? Fire? In the vanniest way, but you can still see the ripped cheeks and the teeth.
Yeah.
But it's a gas.
She's real fucked up.
I was cackling.
Yeah.
Like Dobby dying cackling. Like, I literally sent Chris a photo of my very first note, which is the young kids are burning Van's body. Oh, she's alive. Because I did not expect her to still be alive.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, we've had the first death in the show from you know, post plane crash. Like, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Psych. She's fine. And they tried to burn her. The one thing she doesn't want to have happen to her.
Like, that's the worst thing.
Yeah.
By far. Like, that's painful. And like, she's already got her face ripped in half and all this shit going on. Probably thirsty. Let's just be honest about that.
And hungry.
Sure. All kinds of.
And she's smelling bacon. She's like,
it's like a cartoon.
She's like, what's cooking?
She starts.
Oh, it's me.
Why did they not check her pulse? Or like, why is funeral pyre the first thing?
You think Misty would have been on that?
So quick too, like to get that built to put her body on.
Yeah.
In the night. Yeah. Wow.
They're like, hey, we got to build a pyre.
We're not fucking around.
So then we cut to pre-1996. We get like the fifth or sixth timeline in this show. But this is young Laura Lee. We get a little backstory on Laura Lee. I like to think of her last name being Leonard, but I don't know if that's true. But it's Laura Lee Leonard is what I would like it to be.
Well, that's why her bear's name is Leonard.
That's true. Oh, yeah. Is her bear's name Leonard?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
The baby. So then she dives into the swimming pool. She's at like a public swimming pool.
She's at the Mary Magdalene summer camp.
Is that why there's so many crosses?
That's why there's a lot of people very religious that are there.
Because there's like a lifeguard cross in the water. But I mean, there's cross iconography everywhere.
Yeah.
She dives in the shallow end like a Damas.
Did she do that intentionally or is she just like...
I don't think she did it intentionally.
No. Who does that intentionally?
I don't know. Like, I didn't know if like, is Laura Lee struggling with something?
She's struggling with swimming.
She's like, this summer camp sucks. We're going to do crafts after this. I just want to end it all.
No, dive into the shallow end. I'll tell you what she's struggling with. The rules of the pool.
Yeah. We didn't see this, but she was actually running.
Before. For sure. 100% based on this behavior, a fucking runner.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was going for suicide. She said head first into the ground.
Yeah. What kind of dive? Is that what the name of that dive is?
Head first into the ground.
Suicide. I know there's a name for it, but it's where you don't use your arms in front of your head. So not only are you shallow end diving, but you're just going straight like a lemming.
Oh, so she jumped like that kid from the Simpsons that like crashes through the window.
Yes.
What's his name? Wimby or whatever?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
I'm in danger.
That one. So like this, I... So, because we see her kind of like looking at the pool, and I didn't connect two and two together that she was in the shallow end or that she was going to dive into it. So when she dove into it and just that shot of her
clunk, dude, it's bad
hitting into the, oh my God, that was,
and then the blood trailing through the water.
I might have had a more visceral reaction to that than when Coach Scott had his leg chopped off.
Oh, I think so, because this is like more a relatable kind of pain. Like,
yeah, and I know a guy. So my soccer coach
Andy in did that.
High school was paralyzed because he did that. I mean, he didn't jump into the shallow end of a pool, but he dove off a boat and didn't realize there was a sandbar, and so he fell into the sandbar and he paralyzed himself.
Oh my gosh!
So like that type of thing is just kind of, it freaks me out. Like,
I agree.
No,
yeah. I get the willies. Like,
yeah,
Andy broke multiple vertebrae. Doing a Laura Lee, dove in.
That's why he's not on the show anymore.
this was as a child, and he bit through his tongue.
Oh, no.
All kinds of shit. He was in fifth grade.
But that effect that they used where you could see the cut and like the,
oh, yeah.
Like her forehead skin was like skimmed off a little bit.
Yeah, it wasn't and skinning properly.
No one
properly.
Really realizes that she's done it for a beat. Until the lifeguard finally pulls her out, like, oh my gosh, that was really scary. Even though I knew she was fine, she was going to be okay because she's in the present day timeline
for a while,
for a bit. I was still kind of like, oh my gosh, will someone please help her?
Yeah, it really endears you to Laura Lee because you kind of see why she so fervently believes in the all loving and all powerful hand of Jesus Christ. Because in this moment, she's got like this kind of like the same way that Lottie. The opposite of the way that Lottie saw Laura Lee framed when she was getting baptized, because that looked kind of demonic, right? Yeah. But she saw this really heavenly figure, this handsome face with the cross of the Christ dangling from his neck, bringing her back to the loving embrace of the living world.
Well, we'll talk about it later, but they use the same effect where they're kind of like having light streaks past him.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives this sort of like heavenly, you know, the rays of heaven.
An incandescence, if you will.
Yeah, and then it's on the cross as well that's hanging off his chest. This scene is a little silly because the guy that's the lifeguard person that saved her is like, I don't know if his note was like, hey, buddy, ham this up. Ham it up. Like, take the ham level to an 11 and then do more. Because she's like, you saved. And he's like, I didn't save you, Laura Lee. He did. Like,
well, the way I took it was, this is like Laura Lee's perception of what happened, right? And she's very childlike. I mean, they're all actual children and teens, right? But Laura Lee still carries like a teddy bear and stuff, right? Like, she's even more childlike.
Yeah.
And so I just took it as innocent. She's very innocent. So this was her perception of the thing, right? When in reality, dude probably had a handlebar mustache and a cigar, and he was like, you're fine, kid.
Rub some dirt on it.
And it was just a little
Ty said that.
Rubber. But that's the pre-1996. We cut back.
I was really happy that we were getting a flashback to Laura Lee. Like, I was kind of surprised at how much I was excited to see more about her. Like, oh, yeah, we're finally going to learn more about Laura Lee. This is fun. Aww.
Now we know why.
Yeah.
It was now or never. We cut back to 1996, and it's Laura Lee asking for a sign from God. A little bird lands on the porch, clearly a sign. And then Lottie walks up.
Birds showing up at places, and taking it as a sign.
And Lottie goes up to talk to her about, the missing, not the missing, but the search party is what I was calling it. You were calling it
Unit 2.
Unit 2. I like that.
Unit 2.
It's where the assistant director's hanging out. And then back in 2021, Shauna sees Callie at breakfast. I thought you were at Alana's. Oh, I came home early to change. Good thing, because I found this. And it's Adam's wallet. And
Rookie mistake.
Wow. What's the first time she's ever done such a thing, right?
How was he able to drive his car? He doesn't have his license.
That's true.
He can't drive without that.
Now he's breaking the law.
Mm.
Very uncool.
No.
That's not cool, kids.
Nope.
But Callie's mad, understandably so. And we talk about identifying and liking Laura Lee a little more for the first time. I got to say, guys, hot take here. For the first time, I really felt bad for Callie and disliked Shauna in this scene and the subsequent scene. You got to think of it from her perspective. She's an asshole, but she's also a teenager. A lot of hormones going on, a lot of confusion. Plus, when Jeff's your dad and, Rabbit Murderer 5000 is your mom, maybe things are a little tougher than they have to be. And now, like, her mom is putting all of this shit on her, right? Like, yeah, she tried to blackmail her mother. That was wrong, but she's an asshole. She's a kid, right? But now, like, she knows her mom's cheating on her dad. She knows her dad's cheating on her mom, at least in this, that's later comes out in this scene, because Sean is like, first you were mad at me because you were judging me for looking the other way. Implying that, like, hey, everybody can see what's going on here. Inventory again. Are you serious?
Yeah.
But now you're mad at me for doing something about it, even though it's not. Anyway, all I was thinking out through this entire monologue was like, what a fucking dick thing to do to put on your kid, like all your like adult baggage. Like, picture Callie's like trying to pass the test and studying for Spanish and dealing with her own relationship issues in high school and wondering where she's going to go to college. And like, she doesn't need any of this shit that's going on. You know what I mean? That's what I was thinking of. That's what I was
thinking of. I mean, imagine if Callie wasn't an asshole. And, you know,
can't imagine it.
I just wish they would write Callie or direct this actress to play Callie with any sort of consistency whatsoever, because this character does go from cartoonishly raging teenager to, mom, you got to really worry about this. And it's kind of this whiplash, like from scene to scene, like what Callie are we getting today? There's no consistency. That's my problem with this character. Mm-hmm. That's why I kind of don't like Callie, because I'm like, I don't care.
Well, like I said, again, like
you make a great point. Hormones, like if this was a real person, yeah, don't do that to your kid. That's wrong. She doesn't deserve that. She's got her own high school shit she's got to worry about. But like I said, like there is some wild, like this is the most inconsistent thing about this show is Callie.
Well, the one time she was on Molly.
Sure. But even then it's like, I don't know. I don't.
There is a bit of whiplash. I don't think she's a likable character, but I do sympathize for her more than ever in this scene. And I think Shauna even starts to kind of break apart. Like, what am I doing?
I think for me, it's hard to predict Callie in like her intentions and also what she'll say. I mean, obviously, you know, she's clearly upset with her mom, which I agree with you. I think is validated. You know, if you're at least you're going to cheat, don't bring him in the house, or you know what I mean? Because I think I would be upset with my mom if I found that the person that
wait till she finds out she masturbates in her bed.
Ew, mom.
Hold up, new convo.
Yeah.
I found this in my room after I found the wallet. Yeah. And it's just a giant, it's the American challenge.
Yeah, but I sympathize with Callie in this scene a little bit. But also, Steve, I see where you're coming from. Like, I think there's definitely some inconsistencies. But at the same time, I think people can rationalize those inconsistencies with her being a teenager and...
Sure. Yeah. Like, I think that's true, but I also think that's sort of like an easy out. Like, oh, sure. She's just a teenager and they're moody. It's like, well, sure, but they usually have reasons to be moody.
Yeah.
Mm. And we just don't really see them in the show, at least.
Yeah, we don't. We don't get much of Callie beyond girl who mad at Shauna, right? But she does say, as Steve alluded to, that she can't find Adam anywhere online because she's got his full name now because she's had his wallet for God knows how long. She searched him online. There's no record of him, no social media. He's supposedly an artist, but where's his like shitty artist Instagram page promoting his stuff? We all have one of those. I have one, right? And Shauna, you can tell, is defending that. She's like, well, maybe he just doesn't have anything, but she's also visibly starting to really think about that. And she's like, gets defensive. He just wants me. Like, is that so weird? Somebody would want me, right? And I said it shittier than she does with a lot more stank on it. But essentially, she's desperate to feel desired. Mm-hmm. You know,
feel it.
It, baby.
She's looking for that it factor, man. Mm-hmm. And everything's on the internet except for your boyfriend. How weird is that?
Yeah, rule 34.
Rule 34. If it can't exist, it will on the internet. Mm-hmm.
So we cut to Shauna a little more convinced something's amiss by her daughter than she wants to admit, calling Pratt, the art school, not Chris Pratt, that Adam supposedly went to.
Mushroom Kingdom, here we come.
She pretends to be Sandra Norberg and asks about his transcripts. There's no record of an Adam Martin, I think that's his name, anywhere at that school. And at that moment, Jeff comes in. He's got a gift from Saks Fifth Avenue, see, which is with fancy clothes and colognes and perfumes and whatnots. And this is how he wants his woman, because he's homecoming royalty, to dress, because there's an upcoming high school reunion. I love the line from Shauna where she says, it's 3 months from my anniversary and my entire, I don't know if you think this is the anniversary present, but it's 3 months away and my entire personality off base here. Yeah. Like it's not something she would ever desire to wear.
Yeah.
Also, have they ever gone to one of these before? Like it kind of sounds like we haven't had a reunion ever. So wear this dress.
It's been at least 5 years. Isn't that how those work?
I honestly, I've never been to one, so I don't know.
Isn't it like 5 years, 15 years?
And I think it's 5, 10.
5, 10, and then it goes like
5, 10, maybe 20, 30. Yeah. So this would be their
20?
Yeah.
Probably their 20.
Because
they're like 40.
40 something, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe like 25.
Yeah. Oh. Maybe 25, yeah.
Unless she graduated late because she was on the wilderness and couldn't pass the core math. Six rabbits, but kill three.
But you know what I mean, right?
Carry the tail.
The whole, like, you got to look the part. You married into royalty. Like, have they not, have people not known that they're married?
Maybe not, because of what she went through. She maybe wasn't comfortable.
That's true.
Going back to this. So this could be the first time.
That's a good point.
That question will probably be answered in episode 9. But it's been at least 10, 15 years since they've been to any of them, just by virtue of how often they occur. So that's long enough to get weird. I went to my 5 year, and I was not sober yet. So I was really high. And everybody was just trying to bang each other that didn't bang in high school. It's my experience with my particular high school class.
All right.
And but not me, because I was like the high guy, right? So I was just kind of floating around drinking the free booze. I went with Andy.
Hey guys, you remember math?
But I wasn't on any sports teams. I wasn't in any extracurricular activities. I was like the long-haired kid playing guitar and coloring his fingernails with Sharpie. So it was like, well, I don't know why I'm even here. What's up, people that didn't know me? Mm-hmm. But so that's my only experience. I have nothing, no wisdom to offer Steve. Madison, have you been to yours yet?
We had our 5 years in 2021, so last year, and I didn't go. It was, they had a pool party, and I was like, come on, guys. It was a pool party. It was bring your own booze.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
That's
that.
Just like a high school party.
Was, and it was also, we couldn't park there. We had to get dropped off.
Just to add insult to injury.
Because it was at somebody's parents' house that had a pool. And so me and my friends, my close friends, none of us went.
That's so lame.
Yeah, that's the most janky party type of reunion ever.
The person that was in charge of it, you know, I give them credit. They were really trying, you know, they had an idea. They were the only person in charge of it, you know, cool. But, you know, me and my friends were like, we could have just, you know, all went in $10 and run it out of space at, you know, a local brewery an event space. And, you know, I'm sure someone knows somebody that could have catered food anyway. I just was like,
Chick-fil-A knows a guy.
Yeah. I just was like, you know what?
Not on Sundays.
I'm not going to go to this. I'm not going to go to this dumb pool party reunion. And I was closer with the class ahead of me anyway. So it's just going to that high school reunion. I think I would have had fun, you know, talking to people I haven't seen in a long time. But at the same time, it's like, I didn't really need to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I'm with you. I think Sean is with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jeff, he's not. He disagrees. Yeah. He's got his trunks on. He's calling an Uber.
And it's like,
let's do this.
I need to align on how I'm going to say this, but like, I feel like, you know, the people that were very enthusiastic about their high school shenanigans, those people were going to be at my reunion. And I was like, I don't really connect with those people anymore.
Right.
So. No. And as you shouldn't, you've grown.
Yeah.
I've never been to my own. I've never been to any of my reunions just because like everyone in my class were dicks.
Maybe my 10 year, if it's not at a fucking pool, maybe I'll go to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, your 10 year is going to be a keg party.
You're going to graduate to that.
A keg party in the forest.
Because Carl's parents are out of town, so we got all night.
We got all night, guys.
Wait, we're 30 now. Doesn't matter.
All night. And then we're going up the quad and streaking.
We're going streaking through the quad. Hey, you, bring your green hat. Snoop-a-loop.
Wait, my 10 years is in 3 years. Wow. Crazy.
You're getting up there. You're going to be dead soon.
Yep.
So many listeners are like raging right now. Damn the youth.
I'm sorry.
Back in 1996, we see Travis playing cards, I guess solitaire. I think so, but there's no queens in the deck, is what Natalie points out. Yikes. And then she's like, hey, it's time to go hunting. And they still haven't talked since his lack of an ability to maintain an erection. And so he says, Natalie, you can go hunting by yourself. I'm too soft to go hunting anymore. That's the implication.
I think Nat so did he have blows a little, her off. I think she had a little double entendre. They're like, hey, we can go hunting. Maybe we'll get lucky.
Yeah. Hunting for my
beaver.
It's beaver season.
Yeah, it's beaver season. Thank you. You saved me. You're welcome. I was like, animal vagina pun failing to compute. Clam.
We're not going to find clams out there, Natalie.
No. Never. So back in 1996.
Wait, still. Hold on. Were you like thinking of sexual creatures and you went Sasquatch? Everyone knows Sassy Squatch is a minx.
Sassy he's big Squatch. Sexy. Big sexy Squatch.
You know what they say about big feet?
What?
Big hearts.
Big hearts. Mm. So they give big hugs.
And big hugs. Mm-hmm. But we cut back to 2021, Natalie. She's doing her makeup, or at least moisturizing, day drinking, and orders up some cocaine. Maybe on like an Uber Eats or a Postmates.
Some snow.
Yeah, she's like snowflake emojis, just in case we're going. I know you're a drug dealer.
Oh, I thought she was insulting that guy.
Yeah, snowflake. You voted for Biden. I'm just throwing that in there. But also bring my drugs.
Yeah.
I could buy more drugs, but have you seen these gas prices? Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah. Then back in 96, Natalie's off hunting, hiking around the river, the stream, and runs into the Coach Scott. And she's like, ooh, you've been dumped by Misty Quigley. That sucks. And then that's where she tells him, hey, I know that you're gay. And it's not in so many words, but that's what she says. And he's like, oh, how'd you know? And she's like, because you never look at our boobs. And it's an awkward thing because they're all in high school. But he's like, oh, that's true. That is an obvious tell.
It could be the fact that you're all children, but right. Fuck me. Yeah.
But also, she says, do you have a boyfriend? He says, well, you know, I did. His name was Paul. He lives in the city. I guess that's who all the condoms were for. He's in that. Hopefully he lives in that city. Otherwise, yeah. He's cheating on Paul.
Oh, no, I assumed that because he's on the private plane for the team. Paul and the other people from the town that would go support the team would travel separately. Right. Mm. Oh. That makes sense. Right.
Yes.
So you're saying that his boyfriend would have traveled to the city.
Oh, he was going to meet Paul there. They're going to have a hotel together. Yeah. Use all the condoms.
Because
remind
me where the tournament was at. Seattle.
Seattle.
Yeah. Seattle? Right. Okay.
And that's where are they from? Where the?
I don't know, man.
Actually,
Illinois.
Yeah.
It's Indiana or something. Isn't
Indiana.
It?
I'm going to double check.
That's far.
Can't remember.
Indiana.
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
I don't remember.
They're not Hoosiers, are they? They're Yellow Jackets. Damn it.
Is it Michigan?
Could be Michigan.
Because I'm just trying to think flight-wise, like.
Why would you go through Canada to get to Seattle?
Oh, it's Jersey. It's New Jersey. Yeah.
Jersey.
Yeah. So Jersey. It's from Wisconsin High School within the town of Wisconsin, New Jersey.
Hmm. I was thinking Stranger Things. Everything's in Indiana for me from now on.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I took it as. Was like, obviously, the family, friends of the team aren't on that private plane with them. They would travel separately. So Paul's probably there to support him. And then when there's no game plan, they have a different game. Mm-hmm. It's called Tummy Sticks.
From Wedding Sing or Wedding Crashers? Wedding
Crashers, yeah.
Play Tummy Sticks.
Let's play Tummy Sticks. I don't want to play Tummy Sticks. Let's not play Tummy Sticks.
Tummy Sticks. I win every time.
But and Abby's then, like super, super wise in this scene, not only because she's able to like, you know, she calls Coach Scott to a T, but isn't she like, she gives him like sage wisdom too? Like he'll wait for you or something like that?
Somewhat, but then she says, is Travis gay? And undoes all that, right? And he's like, what? And because she tells him about his inability to maintain the erection. And then I don't know if it was an intentional pun joke, but the coach looks at her and says, trust me, he's in pretty deep. And I wish she would have said, actually, he's not.
I also interpreted it as double. Yeah.
Well, doesn't he say like, you know what I mean? Like, doesn't he do like that?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
He says something like that, but I wasn't sure. Like, am I just picking this up the wrong way here? Mm-hmm.
Can we also just point out that Coach Scott, you know, he is just living the life.
Misty?
He's got his toe in the water. He's got his toes in the water. He's reading a book. He's enjoying nature. No teens in sight to bother him. This is the happiest he's been in months.
He hasn't been poisoned in days.
Yeah.
And then he has a real moment with Nat. And I'm sure that when she walked away, he's like, I handled that pretty well.
I fucking nailed that way better than with the condoms with the other kid. I don't even remember his name, but he sucks. Yeah,
that kid sucks.
He's worse than his brother.
I hope she doesn't poison me too.
And then he asks Natalie not to tell anybody that he's gay. You know, this is the 90s. not much less progressive than it is now. And it's not completely there where we're at now. So I'm assuming he's worried about his job and all kinds of shit he shouldn't have to worry about just by being who he is. But we cut to Thaisa, who hiking with Van. They've wrapped her face up in, I guess, like a torn T-shirt. They're hobbling along as best they can. Everybody's out of breath and tired. And they've hiked for like a day and a half to get as far as they are. So she says, you guys got to leave me. And ultimately, Ty sends them off because she said, at least let them go. Right. So Mari, Akila and Misty all go back to camp and leave Thaisa and Van sitting there. Back in 2021, Misty is feeding Jessica.
And Caligula.
Caligula.
He's being rude. He like drops food or something. It's like, Caligula, yeah. Being rude.
She doesn't like Jessica.
In front of our guest.
It's fair. And then that's when Natalie's phone rings on the video feed. Because remember, she has those spy cameras in the motel. And it's really cool. I like how they did this because, you know, Jessica's like, your phone's ringing. And she's like, no, actually, I'm watching Natalie. And she's like, oh, of course you are. It's a totally normal thing to do.
Yeah, you're a normal person.
And that's where she sees Natalie buying drugs.
Not the drugs.
There's a sizable bag of druggies visible on screen. So she runs up.
You drinking drugs?
Tries to stop. Yeah, she tries to stop that. So she runs up the steps and out the house. Back in 1996, Travis is at the lake. Jackie is there. And they're fishing. I don't know if it's like fishing or if some, I guess it can be construed as that. They kind of have like nets tied up or something. Trying to catch some crabs, maybe.
Oh, some crabs?
Maybe.
Oh, I like crabs.
Maybe. But they're not catching anything. And this is when they start talking about Natalie. And Jackie's trying to give him advice. He's not really into accepting it, but that seems to be what's going on. And then Bobby, what's his face, gets brought up. So Jackie.
Bobby Farley.
Well, that's what he says. She says, Bobby, what's his face at first?
You're right.
And Bobby Farley's the fucking guy.
That's the guy. That's the flex guy.
He named him Flex. Started the whole rumor about him trying to suck his own dick.
Which has been the worst thing that has ever happened to Travis's life. There's that and then his dad dying. All right?
Yeah. And Jackie, in her own way, was trying to help. Yeah. And so, you know. But talking about how low Natalie's standards are, and that's why he shouldn't feel bad. Don't worry. She'll fuck you. She'll fuck anybody. She's not mad at all. Literally. Just wait.
Just wait.
Jackie sucks.
Yeah. And did you guys think that Jackie was kind of like ogling him?
A little
bit. When he took off his shirt to check the traps in the ocean, she's like, what's going on here?
I didn't get an ogle vibe.
Like, you get an ogle vibe? I think there's some ogling, and I think maybe.
Well, she Jackie's said you're like, practically Brad Pitt out here. She did say that.
I think she had the thought of like, oh, he does look good without a shirt on, or like just thought of something like,
oh yeah,
relatively,
man.
Yeah, and then made it, you know, verbally clear, like. Yeah, you're the only, you know, dude out here.
Especially, she's been up all night reading Shauna's erotica.
Yeah.
I think Jackie is hurt by the Shauna's erotica. Uh-huh. And she's looking to hurt someone because she's also hurting and she doesn't know how to process that. And she sees Travis. And I think that's like a little light bulb went off in her head. Like, okay.
I think the initial look.
I'm upset that my friend lost her virginity and didn't tell me there's an opportunity for me to try to get some revenge and hurt other people at the same time. But
yeah,
because there's some other things that happen later in this episode. I'm like, Jackie, I see what you're doing.
She's thinking, I would also like to be on the MTV original TV show, Stranded and Pregnant.
Yes. Coming to you this spring.
So we end that scene and awkwardly because he gets really upset that it's Bobby Farley and storms off, grabs his shirt, which she seems really sad about. And then back in 2021, Natalie is about to relapse. She's busted the lines out. She's chippity chopping a couple rails in there with a little bump.
Chippity chopping Chinese chicken.
Misty runs in. She can't think of anything better to do, so she just snorts it all and then rubs it around. So it's fucking funny. Best. I love it so much.
Funny. Don't breathe that.
Flies
don't
everywhere. This is one of my favorite things to happen in this show ever.
I just love the idea. Like, I don't want my friend to snort coke.
She could have done anything else.
I could do so many things. What am I going to do? I'll snort the coke. I hope it's Coke.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I hope it's not fentanyl or PCP because I'll be dead in a few minutes.
Yeah.
That happens later. But that's just literally this entire scene. We cut that quickly. It's just her. She runs and snorts all the Coke. They wrestle. The Coke flies everywhere. And then it cuts back to 96. And Travis goes up to Natalie. Natalie's like in, I don't know the geography of their cabin, but they seem to have their own little room at times.
I think the two, excuse me, I think the two men have their own bedrooms.
It's kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
Is that for the safety of the women folk? I don't know.
I took it as bullshit, but I also was like, I guess privacy, but at the same time, they're all fucking, I don't know. To me, they both have beds.
They're all fucking.
Yeah, the beds.
What?
They're all like sleeping on the fucking floor. It's like, you know, why can't they just rotate the bed? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you take turns.
Yeah.
So, I get the bed on Tuesdays.
Right. It just was really, yeah.
Me and Coach.
Yeah.
Super easy to cuddle with. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Or I don't understand why the boys don't have like share a room and they, you know, switch off beds or something like that. I don't know.
I wish you were there to delegate this situation. Because right now, this like feudal enterprise they got going on, I don't like it either.
Me too.
I understand why Coach had a bed consistently due to the recent amputation.
I'm stumped as to why.
I'll give you that. I don't have the buttons. There you go. But yeah, he goes up to Natalie in their little hut, Travis room, and he confronts her. She's all happy, and I feel so bad. And I love this character played by Sophie Thatcher a lot. But he immediately brings up Bobby fucking Farley. And she's like, who told you? Right. So essentially she didn't want to tell him the third person she had sex with, knowing how much he particularly hates that person. Right. And it makes me mad. And again, it sucks because I do identify with how douchey this guy is. When I was a kid, I really struggled with jealousy and insecurity. I used to, it's way too much information. It's embarrassing. I had such a problem with this because I was dating my high school sweetheart for 4 years, was way more experienced in that department than I was before I got with her. I'd only had two previous girlfriends. So I used to listen to like John Lennon's song, Jealous Guy.
I'm just a jealous guy.
And like cry and shit a bunch. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to hurt you. And I'm just that's how bad it was. But so in this moment, I'm like, again, stop. Just like I talked about last week. But he's giving her a bunch of shit because this is none of his fucking business is the real truth of the matter. Right. Yeah. Like you grilled her and she quote unquote lied to you about shit that was none of your fucking business. And she was nice enough to kind of tell you about, right? So that's the unfortunate, like as a fly on the wall to this whole situation, it makes it so much more cringy and painful. But he kind of basically dumps her, even though they're all stranded in the wilderness.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not going anywhere, bud. I'll see you later.
A follow-up to pregnant and stranded.
I guess you're not going to eat any of my deer I hunt later.
This is so painful to watch. And she takes shots back, too. Yeah, because Nat's one of our favorite characters, I think. I can say that for all of us. Like, we all love Nat. And it's so dumb to be this hung up on a nickname that someone gave you. Like, people find, offense to any sort of things. There might be some other stuff he's bringing into this nickname situation, but it's like so silly to me to be like, oh, he called me Flex. I still can't get over. Like, that's the reason why he hates being called Flex was because like some dude says he's trying to suck his own dick. Like,
right.
Okay. Maybe you needed someone more of a backbone and not more ribs. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, cause well, that is so lame.
I think the thing to Travis's character is that he's got a chip on his shoulder because of his dad, and then a lot of trauma and pain throughout the fact that dad, who he already hated, died, mm-hmm. and they're all stuck on this island or this wilderness, and they're all grumpy. So I think it's not so much in particular the nickname. It's just he's very insecure in general,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now he's dealing with erectile issues. Mm-hmm. So when she gets hurt, she's angry. She's like, well, take your little soft dick on somewhere else then, you know, essentially. She says, well, good thing we didn't have sex or this would actually be more painful, which is a shot at him, right? So he slams the door.
Shitted on it.
But they're both, it's a lot of pain. It's hard to watch.
Yeah.
And Jackie walks up kind of like,
shit,
starts kicking the dirt.
Oh, hey, everything okay?
Weird.
I'm going to flex. I mean, I'm going to leave.
Should I go check on him?
I'm going to go consult Travis.
And Natalie's pissed. She's like, it was you, wasn't it? Fuck you. essentially is how that conversation goes. Mm-hmm. Back in 2021, coked out Misty is checking her beats per minute. Freaking out, which is a real thing I've done. like people with severe, like other mental issues shouldn't do a bunch of coke. It's just a thing. I was a little confused though, because Natalie says you just wasted $300 worth of blow. It didn't look like that much, right? $300 would get you a quarter ounce at least.
Did you see the bag that they had?
It was kind of but it was all powder. There was no rocks or nothing. I mean,
I don't know how drugs work.
Was that just only half of the supply? Because later on in the episode, she finds more stuff on the floor.
Well, that's just the stuff that Misty threw, or like they ripped apart. She just finds it.
Okay.
They call that carpet surfing.
Misty should have hoovered the carpet.
Mm-hmm. We used to do it all, and then you'd go digging through the carpet all night looking for more. And then we don't need to get into it. It's good. It's good to be sober.
Oh, I'm happy for you, buddy.
But Misty basically finally loses it. And like with the power of the cocaine, stands up to her for herself against Natalie. Like, I've been working my ass off trying to figure out who killed Travis, doing all kinds of shit you couldn't even imagine, AKA kidnapping people. Right.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, and I'm come all the way over here to try to be a good friend. And this is the thanks I get. Like, fuck you. Right. Essentially.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say, and last on Monday or Wednesday, I told you I wanted to talk more about Misty because of this particular episode. I don't think, how can I say this?
You don't think she's that crazy?
I don't. I don't think she's that bad of a person. She is mentally
she's
ill.
A little crazy.
But I don't think she's that bad of a person. I think when she broke the black box in her mind, she wasn't really thinking it through. And she just meant like, I don't want to give this up yet. Mm-hmm. Right? Like I want like another day here.
She's having fun in her little island
she didn't
paradise.
Think I'm going to stick us here for 15 months or she wouldn't have done it. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, and we all make mistakes.
Who amongst us hasn't broken a black box?
I was watching Misty jump up and down cheering when Laura Lee took off in the plane. And it started to occur to me, like, she's awful happy that they're also going to be rescued soon as well. Mm-hmm. And that's combined with this is when I started to kind of look back and be like, poor Misty. Like, she just keeps digging that psychopathy deeper just simply because nobody's ever entertained loving her or caring for her, right? And she does make it difficult, to be fair. I don't know. I'm rambling.
I kind of agree with you.
I feel the same way.
I got scared to say that.
Misty, I think
you're validated.
Generally, Misty has good intentions. Her problem is she's like way too eager to please. And doesn't understand the concept of boundaries,
yeah,
like at all.
And also has that like likes to watch animals die thing and stuff. So
who hasn't?
A little bit.
That's concerning.
Yeah.
To say the least. I've seen Dexter.
I mean, would I like to have Misty in my life? Of course. But no, I wouldn't. Misty would like be very unsettling to me.
Because
like,
you are a Misty. Two Misties can't get along.
Yeah, no, I'm a total Misty. Like I mean... I have secret cameras in your guys' place.
I appreciate it.
I probably
it,
shouldn't have said that because now they're not secret cameras. They are just cameras.
We still don't know where they are.
Yeah, we don't know where they are.
That's true. Now you guys have a fun game to play.
It's called Find Steve.
Small hint, it's probably something I've given you. Also, probably- Chris, you should get that checked out.
I will, buddy. Thanks for having my back, wink, wink.
No, I felt for Misty in this moment with Nat. I was like, yeah, Nat is just awful at accepting. Well, in the concept of Gypsy, or God damn it, I keep mispronouncing everyone's name. Gypsy's my cat's name. In the context of Misty, like I can understand Nat being upset, but like I see where Misty's coming from because you know she knows Nat's struggles with. You know, relapsing and addiction, and she just doesn't want to see Nat go through that again.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yeah, on all these people, you could argue that Misty is the one that accepts Nat 100% for who she is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't want to see her destroy her life, but also isn't throwing that in her face constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ironic.
But it's just a weird obsession because she also knows how to be Nat and text, you know, Kevin, as she did in a previous episode. And, you know, she's a little, she's been watching her go on dates with Kevin and stuff like that. So it's like a little like friend obsessive, but at the same time, she really does care about Nat.
I don't want to like mince words.
I do want to say it's not cool to put cameras in people's houses.
No.
I don't want to mince words here. She is off her fucking rocker.
Yes.
I am just saying
she's a multi-layered character.
With three, yes. There's three scenes in this episode in particular. It's the when she's celebrating Laura Lee flying the plane. It's this scene when she finally stands up to Natalie. And it's also when she's that so upset and just falls apart. That Jessica had Caligula in danger, right? Because that bird is essentially all she has. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time we've seen her crack because nothing like imprisonment has bothered her at all, right? Like life-threatening situations, the thought of murder, people being directly mean to her and saying, fuck off and die. Like she'll just smile, right? But so seeing her have a real emotion, all of that stuff has combined to me. And with the face of Christina Ricci.
There it is.
It's easy to be like, hey, you know, she's not bad. Why do you guys got to make it weird? That's not what it's like. So we cut to the Shauna Shipman family at dinner. The doorbell rings. It's a funny little, like, almost horror movie moment where we don't know who it is at the door. And Callie's kind of like, you're in trouble. And Shauna's concerned because it might be crazy ass Adam, who has no boundaries, showing up at dinner. But it's Thaisa, who Shauna has to pretend to not have seen for 20 years. And Jeff's just standing there awkwardly Jeffing it out like, I don't actually give a fuck. I'm just waiting to meet up with Ivana or whatever.
You watch ESPN? Yeah.
You want to go jerk off to SportsCenter? That's what I do.
That's what I do.
All right. Call me if you change your mind.
I'll get the Jergens.
The next scene, they're going through a walk through the neighborhood. And that's when Thaisa comes clean about how she's sleepwalking again. Nothing in her life's going right. She's being a terrible mother in her estimation to Sammy. Simone and her aren't getting along.
Biscuit's missing.
Oh my God.
She ate that dog.
She probably ate the dog,
she
right?
She ate that dog.
Shauna probably helped her cook it up. She wasn't even sleepwalking.
Yeah.
I'll clean it.
Oh, hi, Pippin.
She talks about the bad one.
I said she ate that dog and Pippin hopped up in my lap like, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Are you talking about me? Did you know I'm a descendant of wolves?
Why does Pippin, it just occurred to me. Pippin sounds like the roadie from Wayne's World.
What? I don't remember this character.
Yeah, he's the old English roadie. And he sounds like a Liverpool. You don't remember that character?
No, I'm blanking on that one.
I'll show you a clip of it later, but okay. Like six octaves too high. But that's
so he doesn't have that high voice.
No.
Oh, okay.
But that's the same cadence.
I don't remember a guy in Wayne's World sounding like this.
I'm just a sweet little Pippin boy.
Do you need your amplifiers brought to the stage? So the bad one, she admits that she's known for, we don't know how long, maybe the entire time that what Sammy's talking about, she knows is actually her. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm fucking climbing trees and shit again. I painted shit on my house.
Ate dirt.
I eat a lot of dirt.
All the time.
It's terrible tasting when I wake up.
And when you think about it, she was going to let her kid take the fall for that.
Yeah.
Damn.
Therapy and everything.
Talk about child trauma. Both Shauna and Ty are fucking their kids up.
I get it. She ain't no snitch, even on herself.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
She said, yeah, you're going to take the blame, Sammy. Mm-hmm.
Should have been more, should have been clever. I taught you better than that. Mm. You put the, I even put the paint under your bed and painted a trail to it. And you still didn't catch it before I did. Come on, kid. And so she's not sleeping. She's pounding espresso at night so she doesn't have to deal with what she might do. And Shauna offers to let her stay at her house because Callie is obviously angry.
Always at Alana's
house. She hates her family.
She's always at Alana's house.
Oh, poor Alana.
When that character shows up in this show, I'm going to lose my mind. Like,
Alana knows. Alana knows all the tea.
She's hearing everything.
So much.
She's from Atlanta. She's got that southern drawl. Yeah. 1996, Misty, Mari, and Keela show back up. They stumble in. And this is kind of a heartwarming thing because, you know, Misty tells them kind of what happened. And they're like, you need to show us the way. I think it's Laura Lee. But like Misty barely physically made it to the porch. And then she has to hike all the way back out there. And in that moment, again, that's where I'm like, heating up my like, Misty's maybe not such a bad person thing, right? Because that's like, that takes a lot of gumption, a lot of fortitude. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what? I do want to help these girls. We got to hike back out there.
You can say a lot of things about Misty. One thing you can't say about her is that she doesn't care about her friends.
She's loyal.
Yeah. Her perceived friends. They may not like her, but she likes them.
She will die for them. Mm-hmm. So Misty leads the rescue party all the way up to Van and Ty. They're nearby. They're screaming, but they should be here, but they can't find them. And then the flare goes up. Thaisa had shot the flare gun. And then they get Van. It just cuts to them. We don't have to see how they carried Van and Thaisa, but they got them back to the crib. And
and that's the crib.
They're sewing her up.
Oh, I'm a member of the Yellow Jackets, and this is my crib.
And we get to see this graphic scene of them sewing her cheek up. I assume improperly, but as best they can. And it's brutal. They linger on it.
Misty was trying to give them pointers, though.
She was. They were like, just stay out of it, Misty. I'm like, I think she knows what she's talking about.
Was it Shauna that said that? Shauna, I think they're, Misty, I think they know what they're doing.
I don't think they do. How would they know what they're doing? Maybe they sew a lot.
Maybe.
They weren't tying each suture like they're supposed to.
Akila?
I think so.
Was a Girl Scout, so maybe she knows some shit.
That's true.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
She also has the hookup on the Thin Mints, which is key.
The hookup?
Mm-hmm.
She's the plug.
We cut back to 2021. Shauna and Thaisa are making the bed, I assume in the spare bedroom or Callie's guest bedroom or Callie's room. Yeah. She's like, hey, I masturbate in here sometimes. We're going to want to change these sheets.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I heard that when you guys did. I just say shit.
It is weird that they're changing the sheets. Like, is Callie like that nasty that you need new sheets?
Well, I guess, you know, people like to sleep on fresh sheets, especially rich people.
If you're a get,
I don't know. Some teenage girls do be gross.
Eating all the chips in the bed and just staying up all night.
Guilty.
Watching Saved by the Bell, the college years and all that shit. Mm-hmm.
Not the Saved by the Bell part, but the eating the chips in the bed. I'm outing myself. I did do that when I was a teenager.
Yeah, I didn't have a bed. I did. I didn't have chips either. So Shauna and Thaisa, they're making the bed and they start talking about, have you ever imagined life? I like this scene, but this was the dumb line where Shauna's like, have you ever thought about what life would be like if we didn't get stranded in the woods for 17 or 18 or 19 months and murder each other and eat people and stuff? And like, yes, it has occurred to me. It would have been better that didn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, right. What kind of question is that? I get those. Like, she just wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
She's like, I was going to go to Brown. I was going to go to, you know, take a year off and go to France and meet Francois.
Who's the mime.
Fuck the mime, as you do. Mm-hmm. Great with their hands.
I felt like he was always putting me in a box, though.
So limiting. I love it.
And she said, what would you do, Thaisa? And she says, well, I would have go to...
Howard for pre-law,
become double in philosophy and history, and then, you know, go on to be a high-powered lawyer at a big firm in the city,
date a lot of women, first string on soccer team,
all kinds of chicks. And she's like, that is what you did. So now we know exactly what Thaisa did when she got back. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, but none of those things felt real. But I also felt like that was kind of lame too, because Shauna would be like, still, you did it. Like, right. I did none of the stuff I said. You know how to play this game very well, Thaisa.
Oh, my God.
You said, what made me feel like shit?
I was getting a little teary-eyed in this scene, honestly. Mostly because of Ty, like that part where she's like, not a single one of those things felt real. Like, because I kind of feel that way sometimes when I think back of like stuff that I've achieved in my life, the things I'm proud of. Like, sometimes I go to sit back and be like, I don't feel like that really happen? It's like an imposter syndrome type. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
it's a good scene. I'm just being obtuse. I'm being obtuse from Shauna's perspective, but it's a great, especially coupled with when we cut back here shortly, we'll get there in a second, but I'm with you. Especially in my 30s as I am thinking back on my life, you know, based on my genetics, I'm halfway done already. You know, if I look back at the tree, none of them make it past mid 60s. So I'm like, this is shit. What have I done so far? I get it.
Break the mold, Chris.
I'm hoping to. I took my vitamin today.
I'm proud of you. Was it a Flintstones?
It was a multivitamin. Oh, okay. It was a gummy. No, it was the pill form.
Was it an Ollie?
What's that?
It's a type of vitamin.
No, it was a one a day.
Oh, okay. Mm. All right.
I don't know any other kind.
Because you only have to take one a day.
Yes.
It's good branding.
I took two, though, because I want to live extra long. And then, also, the poster in the back says, keep calm and marry Harry. Is that a Harry Styles poster?
Harry Styles, yeah.
Okay. Do you have one of those?
No, I don't.
Are you a Harry stan?
I am a Harry stan. I have two of his albums on vinyl.
Keep calm and marry Harry.
Yeah.
I thought it was Harry and the Hendersons reference. I'm glad I didn't write that down.
I mean, they left it pretty generic. Sassy Squatch. So it could be any Harry, but I think for this particular character,
it's for sure,
Harry Styles.
So we cut to Natalie. She's calling the bank on behalf of Travis, trying to figure out who got into his account. The manager does their job. Obviously, you can't. I'm not going to tell you information about the bank account of somebody you can't prove you know.
Right.
She freaks out, slings everything around the room, freaks all the way the fuck out. But that's when she finds the Coke on the carpet and gets super happy. And we cut back to
floor Coke.
Ba-na-ba-bow.
It was like, my precious. Yeah.
Why didn't we snort it? Jessica has Caligula.
Caligula.
No. Caligula.
When Misty comes down. That's what all of that was for.
I need to hook up my phone for the air horn.
I love it, dude.
Caligula.
That's awesome.
And Misty runs down the stairs and she acts like she doesn't care at first. And by the way, how long was Jessica likely holding that bird in order to pull this off?
She caught that bird like 3 hours ago.
Time. God, a long time. But Misty freaks the fuck out. Mm-hmm. Throws up something, a knickknack, like a candle.
Can at her.
Yeah. And breaks the wall and it gets Caligula free. That was a ballsy move.
Oh my gosh. This is the most I've ever felt like I was one with Misty. Like I've always felt like I'm one with Misty. I am a total Misty, but
yeah.
In that scene where she's like, I'm so sorry, my sweet baby boy. I didn't mean it. I mean it. And like,
as if he heard what she said.
Yeah. And she like chases him upstairs to, I assume, hug him and give him all the kisses on his beak.
Yeah.
He's a good boy and deserves all those kisses. I didn't realize something in that moment. She talks to Caligula the same way that I talk to Pip and the dog.
Because you're a total Misty.
And she talks to Jessica the same way I talk to Ellie the dog, my other dog.
Who you keep chained up. They're just licking each other right now, by the way.
I know. They love each other. That's cute. I know Pippin's usually the one like, who's my sweet boy? And then Ellie's the one that'll purposely piss on the rug while making eye contact with me saying, do something, motherfucker.
She said, fuck you,
yeah.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Yeah, sometimes if you hear like a loud clang in the recordings, it's because Ellie just decided to slam the closet door and then look at us like, try me.
She's angry.
I serve my nickel. You come and take me.
She's angry. And the thing about this scene is that Misty is unhinged partly because of the Coke. She's crashing. She's coming down. She's now hungry because Coke steals her appetite. She's had one of those days, as she says.
One of those days.
But she's never done any drugs before like that. So it's very upsetting to her.
Does she let Jessica go, like unlock her?
She tightened them.
What I thought initially. And then she was still in bed. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
She was clasping, I think, their handcuffs, and she was making sure they were even tighter. Mm-hmm. But she's at this point, Jessica's terrified of what she's going to do now that she's tried and failed to harm her pet to get out of there. So like the relief that Jessica has when Misty says, are you hungry? Like now she's like, okay, switch tactics. I got to keep her on my good side because she's going to slit my throat at best. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm starving. Right. And she sees that kind of like weakness in her emotionally and wants to exploit like, that.
Misty just wants to have a friend.
Because I'm hungry. Yeah. Like I feel for her. I do. Back in 1996, Thaisa feels guilty. She's up in the attic talking to Shauna. We can assume they've been staying up there for days, maybe even weeks, because they're the only ones brave enough to go up there. So they've become very close in that kind of recontextualized what's going on in the modern timeline for me.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing is happening. She's talking about her sleepwalking, how she woke up in the tree and everything's her fault. She's the reason Van was even out there. And so she has all this guilt. And Shauna's like, well, I'll stay with you tonight. I'll stay awake and make sure you don't go sleepwalking. It's the exact same thing that happened in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2021, Shauna tells Thaisa about her affair and they kind of tee-hee-hee about it, right? T-E-A-hee-hee. his name's Adam. Sex is pretty good, but it's like, it's also like it's more, it, you
he's
know?
He's got it.
The
it.
Thing.
He's got it.
The Finn Wolfhard.
I don't like that.
Andy Muschietti. It was because he was in It.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Not the person, the movie he was in. Come on. Come on.
Come on.
And then after this scene, it cuts to her going to Adam's house. And he admits pretty quickly that he didn't go to Pratt. He had a girlfriend there and it kind of felt like I went there, which is a weak excuse.
Yeah.
And then he tells her we should go, what is it, to the
Poconos.
The Poconos?
Yeah.
Is that like a, what's the Poconos? I've heard that a lot in TV and film.
Rich people go there.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, how's he going on his artist salary?
Right. It's a region in Pennsylvania.
Oh, sounds like a great place to be.
I think it's where like a lot of people in like New York and New Jersey, they vacation there during like the fall specifically because the leaves.
It's like our Gatlinburg. Maybe? Is it their Gatlinburg?
Sure, yeah. Ooh. I like that. I like that comparison.
Except without Pigeon Forge or Dollywood. It's just the tree part.
Interesting.
The highest point in the Pocono Mountains.
What a bad thing to say to Shauna.
Right?
Hey, do you want to go hiking and camping? Definitely not, sir.
We can hop on my plane. Get a real quick ride.
Nothing bad could happen. And she seemingly is down for that. How am I going to explain? He's like, I don't give a shit. Take me.
Pack a bag.
And then in 1996, Laura Lee announces she's going to fly the plane. All the girls are asleep. And she's like, excuse me.
I have an announcement to
team
make.
Team meeting. She had a glass and a fork. She would have clacked them together. And this is where she kind of gets all fiery, you say?
Yeah.
Because the
fiery.
Coach says, hey, I'm still the adult here. You're not going. That's dangerous. And he's not wrong. And because Laura Lee's been studying the manual for weeks and she flew a plane like with her uncle once or something.
Yeah.
And she's like, fuck you, coach.
She dropped an F-bomb.
Yeah, she did.
Laura Lee swore.
She did. That's how passionate she is.
She's in Rice herself. Dropped the F-bomb. This is a big deal. Yeah. She's got conviction.
It was big.
She's got the power of the Lord behind her.
What are you going to do to stop me, coach? I saw a sign. It opened up my eyes. I saw the sign.
Oh.
Yeah, she tells the coach to suck balls.
Isn't that song about Nazis?
I didn't know that.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah.
What song?
The dude who wrote that song is like a huge white nationalist now. And so a lot of people speculate that the sign he's referring to is the svastika.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Nope.
Never mind. It's okay. We don't need the Googs.
Ace of Base.
Your Google search history is off the charts these days.
I saw the sign.
Do period sync up, co-ed naked. And
does this song mean Nazis?
Yeah. Off the chain. You're on a list now, Steve. Back in 2021.
Whoa. Wait a minute. So Laura Lee makes an announcement in this idea that, you know, we clearly Van needs help, but then Jackie.
Oh yeah.
Says, well, actually there's two people that needs help.
What a dick move.
Shauna, tell everyone why you need help.
Puts her out on blast on Front Street.
Yeah.
Not her business to tell.
No.
I was upset. Were you upset?
I was very upset. Like, Jackie, you bitch.
Steve, were you upset or are you reading trivia about white nationalists and their pop songs?
I'm just making sure that that was right. It's half right. It's not a confirmed thing, but it's a theory that a lot of people have.
Hey, that's all we need is a theory. This is a podcast.
People are saying.
People are saying.
People are
Rumor
saying.
Has it, Rumor. Which is another song.
Rumor has it.
Thank you. Thank you. But yes, Jackie, she's really out for revenge. She's like slyly doing it. She's laying traps all around the group.
Yep.
This is all going to come
She's
to a head soon.
Sus.
She is what the kids would call sus.
Jackie is being so sus.
I would vote for her if this was Among Us. I'd be like, it's her.
It's her. Definitely. Put her in the airlock. Mm-hmm.
But back in 2021, Natalie's going to an NA meeting, a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, seemingly to get help. But no, not the kind she needs. She talks to her old sponsor who we get some indication she has physically assaulted in the past. That's how unsuccessful at recovery she's been. Mm-hmm. She takes her out to like coffee. nearby.
This person works at a bank. That's why she wants to talk to her.
They do. The bank, I would presume, because not all banks are connected that way. So hopefully it's the same branch. That'd be embarrassing if it wasn't. Natalie, that's not how banks work.
Nat, I'm working at PNC. This is clearly a heritage account.
So she asks her, they reminisce for a while, and she seems to be, you know, she, as soon as she softens the woman up, she asks her for access to the bank account of Travis, right?
Yeah, because she says that apparently her and Travis both promised each other they wouldn't commit suicide. And she
that's saying, new info.
Yeah, she was saying that, like, you know, I'm, you know, making a promise for me isn't that big of a deal, but Travis always kept his word. And she seems so genuine that this has an effect on Susie, I think is this woman's name.
I think so.
Yeah.
But she exploits that window immediately. Susie gets, you know, I can't do that. That's ridiculous. I could lose my job. And then Natalie reverts to blackmail immediately.
I thought you'd say that.
How about I tell her? So apparently they got high together. And then at some point, her quote unquote old sponsor just got sober. And yes, they sold clients' information.
To identity thieves.
To feed their addictions.
Yep. To get that dope.
Naughty.
At Yayo.
Naughty.
Naughty. So naughty. Naughty Nat. Naughty Nat.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
There was I went on vacation one time and it was in Mexico. We're in a resort and there was this British family that was at the pool with us and they had this really adorable little girl. And we actually I met the little girl first and we couldn't tell where her parents were. So we were kind of like hanging around her because we thought she was alone. So we were just like, there's this little girl. And so we're kind of talking to her. And this cute girl, I'll never forget. She's like, there's this boy in my class. We call him Naughty Joey because he is very naughty. And I just think about that sometimes. Like, naughty. What's Naughty Joey up to these days?
He's in prison. I took my daughter at this point from my wife so I could help her do something. So I was taking notes with one hand and my note says plain crazy. Cause she, this is where
plain crazy.
Laura Lee just goes plain crazy. It was a pun. It was one handed pun.
I love it.
Pun.
I like it. I dig it.
So they all start clearing away the detritus and debris from now. I'm gonna have British voice the whole naughty Joey.
Naughty Joey.
Detritus.
All the debris.
Oh, all the debris from around the plane.
The debris.
So they can have a runway. It's covered in debris. And Shauna is mad at Jackie. She's gearing up. You're like, hey, why did you say that? Why did you put me on blast on Front Street?
What the fuck, bro? Come at me.
So Jackie's like, now's not a time for secrets, Shauna, even though it is one and you told it to me and I betrayed your trust.
And Shauna threw that fucking branch. She said, fuck you in this branch.
I'm going to sharpen this and put it in your chest. Yeah. That's the vibe I got.
Well, I'm not going to put it in your chest. I'm going to put it in a hole and hopefully you'll fall into it and then it'll go in your chest.
There you go.
With a bunch of other ones.
Yeah. This is the first of many.
And then I'm going to eat you.
Cook it.
But I'm not going to like it because you taste like shit, I bet.
Because you're a shit person.
That's right. Back in 2021, Thaisa tells Simone about her sleepwalking. They have a wonderful moment because they've been mad at each other for weeks. Like as soon as Thaisa walks in, Simone kind of protectively grabs Sammy. Like, ooh, it's the bad one. and you think they're about to have a moment because Simone's like, okay, we'll get you in a sleep study. We'll get you another therapist, whatever, right? She's trying to be helpful and supportive. And Thaisa says, no, I need you to go stay at your mom's. That's why I told you all this. I don't want you to be here. And they have an argument about that, but Thaisa ultimately is not budging on that. So Simone,
she's afraid she's going to hurt them.
She is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Simone doesn't see it that way because she can't tell her, hey, I've like killed people. You're like, mm-hmm. I eat a lot of dirt in this mode, right? It's bad.
Yeah.
I'm not actually sure what I do. One time I took a lucky deer bone totem and the flare gun. Long story. Just know.
And then I climbed a tree. Yeah. I went tree climbing.
I've been seeing wolves ever since.
I do night digging and tree climbing.
That's what I do. So then we cut to Shauna. She goes into her closet to grab the bag to go to the Poconos. But she finds, what did she find? Glitter. That's right.
Glitter.
You guys can't see it on the podcast, but on the YouTubes, you know, we're making glitter finger pinchy motions.
Glitter.
And she draws the conclusion from the glitter.
I'll stop the British accent. I'm sorry.
No, I like it.
I love it.
Okay.
Naughty glitter.
Naughty glitter.
And she makes the conclusion that it was Adam that was hiding in that closet. And she opens the safe. Everything's gone, including her journals. She seems very distraught about that. So that's how a person extorting her would know about the symbol, because they took her journals, right? Had to have been Adam, she thinks, right? And then she storms over to Adam's apartment, or whatever the fuck his little artist den is, his little shag shack, and says, "Who the fuck are you?" And he looks concerned because he's like, "Damn, who am I? I've been asking about the spell that question." It's like in an existential sense for many years.
I mean, I was born with the name Javi, but
sometimes people call me Harvey.
I have an older brother. His name's Flex.
On the streets, they call me Naughty Joey.
Back in 1996, they all stand around the plane as Laura prepares to embark on an epic journey to rescue them. And it's very sad and awesome and heartwarming. They're all so happy for her. And she's so happy to finally be helping, because she's kind of made fun of a lot the way that Misty is, right? Mm-hmm. And the plane takes off. She's got her fucking teddy bear Leonard in the passenger seat next to her. Leonard. She's so excited. Leonard's excited even. I can almost see him twitch in amusement at the whole scenario, if you will.
So excited.
Let's go flying.
That's Leonard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Make sure to put it in the gear.
like you sound like a Paw Patrol or something. Yeah, that's how it sounds.
Rough.
Let's do this. Go. Jesus.
Fly this plane for Jesus.
Cheese and rice, it's getting hot in here.
Oh no, it's Satan.
Oh no.
Satan, don't take the wheel.
It's a yoke.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yoke's on you.
Do it. Yeah. I understand why we have so many listeners.
Oh my gosh. Let me walk you guys through my feelings, my emotions during the scene. So they're all standing around. Laura Lee comes out. She's got her bag packed. She's hugging everybody. And I'm like, this is sad. I mean, she's going to die. Clearly. Like,
You thought that?
And in my head, I'm like, there's no fucking way she flies this plane and makes it out alive. There's no way. This thing's going to crash. This is a dumb idea. Like, even if there was no supernatural shit going on, don't fly that plane. But as the scene's progressing, I told you guys how like endearing I find it when people love an inanimate object like a teddy bear, right?
Yeah.
So when the wide shot hits and she's holding Leonard's hand, walking around holding this teddy bear's hand, I was like, God damn it, show. Don't do this. Don't make me love. Don't make me feel things. And then she puts him in the little passenger seat and straps him in. I'm like, don't fucking hurt Leonard. And poor Laura Lee, this poor girl, she's been indoctrinated her whole life, but she's a good egg. She's got love in her heart. And then Leonard's on fucking fire. After she's like, I get to save my friends. Yay.
We're going to do it. We're going to save them.
And then she fucking blows up.
Yeah.
But conversely, when she does blow up, that's the part where I shot out of my seat and said, oh, that was the explosion that Lottie saw in the baptism. That's fucking genius. Like, she didn't see the Lord's love. She literally saw Laura Lee's death silhouetted by Laura Lee herself.
Because that was right over the lake where they were that it happened.
Yeah. I didn't make that connection at all until just now.
Yeah. And like, that was, I was sad to see Laura Lee go, just because I really thought that character was starting to ramp up. Like, oh, we're getting more backstory. She's mm-hmm. going to start doing this, like, everyone believe in Lottie or I'll cut you type shit. I thought that was going to happen. No, like, the one who can fly the plane, flew the plane, bit the dust. And it was like, I loved it. And poor Lottie's sad. And Leonard.
Lottie's devastated because she's become very close to Laura Lee. She's the only one that really kind of understands mm-hmm. her clairvoyance and doesn't think that she's crazy. So now she's lost her only friend really out here. And just it's a loss of human life in general. It's the loss of the opportunity that they're all about to get out of this situation. Mm-hmm. Sad on many levels. Shauna also took it very hard when it cut to her. I was like, oh.
And it goes without saying, Travis is comforting Jackie in that moment. I see what you're doing, Jackie. Mm-hmm. You're being sus.
All right, Jackie.
Jackie? Mm-mm-mm. I know why you get thrown in that hole full of steaks. That's all I'm saying. Maybe I'm not even sad about it anymore.
Yeah.
They're not even hungry when that happens. They just hate you. So anyway, that's the end of the episode. That's the last thing we see. Now it's time for our top three favorite moments. I'm going to warn you guys in advance. There's a couple really good emotional beats in this episode that did hit me hard.
So many.
I'm not choosing any of those. All shit that made me laugh.
To be fair, there's a lot. It was a really hard, like, because when I take notes during the episode to be my, like, top three scenes. And at the end, I had six. And I was like, shit, I gotta narrow these down.
Narrow it down, because six divided by two is three.
Yeah.
It's half. Mm-hmm. I just did that in my head.
It was a lot.
No calculator. They're not going to believe me at home that listening to this, but check the YouTube. No calculator.
No calculator.
Steve, what's your number three favorite moment?
Start with me?
I try to keep you guys guessing.
My number three favorite moment is, you know, just a category of moments, and that is just Misty is a great friend. She's a really good friend.
She
is. Just the whole thing with her, like, don't take that blow. I'll take that blow. And then her just, you know, being so sad Caligula. About Caligula. Like, she is just amazing.
It's
and
Bird Mom.
I love her so much. And I can't say Caligula without going, Caligula.
Oh,
naughty Joey.
Naughty Joey.
Naughty Joey. Steve, those were my number three. And I laughed out loud when Misty ran in and snorted the cocaine from that. I think it was, I mean, I've laughed at the show previously in other episodes, but this was the first time that I like verbally like laughed out loud. It was just really funny to me. And then I did enjoy the Jessica was holding on to Caligula and it made Misty upset. I thought that was a good scene too. But yeah, the Misty Chronicles. What I like to call
the Chronicles of Misty.
Chronicles of Misty.
Better than Narnia.
Misty and Mayhem.
Yeah. My number three is the plane exploding. And it would have been probably higher my first watch, but I did know it was going to explode, right? It's my second time through. That's the kind of thing you don't forget. It sticks with you. Mm-hmm. So I was more just like dreading the whole plane plot because it hit me really hard the first time. My wife even walked, this is when she gave me the baby, remember? So she walked by and saw Laura Lee getting in the plane and she was like, because she watched season one with me years ago and wasn't watching it with me this time. But that's like the first thing she's seen of Yellow Jacket since then and just went, ah, don't get in the plane. But yeah, that's my number three. Steve, your number two?
My number two is the conversation between Shauna and Thaisa in Callie's room. I just love seeing these two friends that clearly, I get the feeling that they weren't that close of friends originally. Mm-hmm. But then through their experience out in the wilderness, they started sharing things to one another. They really have this trauma bond specifically between the two of them. And watching them like as adults in this bed, kind of reminiscing about what could have happened, what did happen. And then it just talking about their love lives together. I just thought it was a really, really nice scene. And they both acted it really, really incredibly. It was just nice. I really kind of felt it.
It.
I felt the proverbial it.
Yeah.
Right? They had
the
it.
The Pennywise. Mm-hmm. I should have said that.
Yeah.
Instead of Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah. Famously Finn Wolfhard, beloved on this show.
Madison, you're number two.
My number two was fiery Laura Lee taking a stand with her plan to fly the plane against
the
coach.
That is a great moment.
Especially when, you know, she drops that F-bomb and everyone's like, oh, she's not fucking around. Uh-uh.
She's not cheese and ricing around.
Yeah.
That's the thing about when you don't curse that often.
Yeah.
When you do, they have more power.
Yeah. It was,
I'm just walking around the house like, man, I want some fucking cereal with some motherfucking milk in a fucking bowl
with
or some shit.
Malibu. Yeah. Exactly. <Ew. laughs> But no,
that was a callback.
I liked that scene. It was a good scene. It was a good scene from Laura Lee as well.
Good whole episode was dedicated with good reason to Laura Lee. Mm-hmm. My number two is when Misty snorts the coke. And the Ty and Shauna moment was on my short list. Like I said, there's a lot of really good emotional beats in this episode. Nah, Misty snorting the coke, number two, specifically. Hilarious. Loved it.
Love it.
Fucking funny.
Steve, you're number one.
My number one is the plane scene, simply because like that scene, you guys heard it, took me on an emotional roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it crescendoed in a way. And I didn't expect to be like this invested in Laura Lee's journey.
I feel like we finally got you. Buzz, 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 baby.
Buzz, 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 buzz. I was not expecting to be so invested in Laura Lee's journey and like caring about that character. But I tell you what,
Tell you what.
Her taking that little teddy bear and strapping him in, my heart. I was like, don't hurt me, show. And it hurt me. But then it had a really cool reveal that I thought was amazing. So yeah, that's my number one.
Madison, your favorite moment of episode 8.
My favorite moment, and I think why it was, you know, kind of my favorite episode is because I'm a sucker for the more emotional parts, but I really enjoyed Shauna and Ty's walk and talks. And then, you know, their talks in bed.
Yeah.
Kind of going along with Steve, what you had said before, you know, seeing these characters, you know, not really having much of a connection prior to the crash, gaining that friendship during the crash, and then obviously revisiting their friendship 20 years later as adults. You can definitely see that, you know, their dependency on each other, their transparency with each other. Because, you know, that's the first person Shauna told Ty, she's the first person to tell that she was pregnant. She was the first person to tell about the affair other than Callie, but Callie found out. Those are my favorite scenes.
My favorite scene is at the very beginning with Van on the pyre and they're all morosely watching her burn. And then she starts to stir. Shit, she's alive. And then they roll her off and she says, fire. Really? It's almost like slapstick comedy, you know, yeah. Or a farce, if you will, almost. Ooh, that's the kind of music they would play during those farces too. Is that why it's called? Wow. But anyway, I just thought it was really neat. Cause after the way that, cause I don't think it was meant to be binged. Like this was a weekly show.
Yeah.
And so you thought Van was dead for a week and then it opens up with this.
That's why I was laughing so hard this episode. I thought she was dead.
It's funny. Yeah. It's funny, man. But anyway, that's our favorite moment. It's time to get into our Easter eggies. Steve, we'll start with you. We'll go around the table and just pop off with stuff that we discovered. I don't have many.
I don't have many either.
I don't have many as well. I will, again, this is a callback to last episode. I did notice there is a butterfly motif happening between Shauna and Jackie. In this episode, Jackie is the one wearing the singular butterfly outfit. Before Shauna was wearing an outfit that had like 6 butterflies on it. And then that French phrase that meant glimmer of hope. But now Jackie's just wearing one big butterfly.
Yeah.
And I'm just keeping an eye on these butterflies, Madison. There's something to it.
Tailing them.
Mine
is Laura Lee references Back to the Future when she's taking off in the plane.
Yeah, good pull.
Yeah.
I only have one song. It was Mazzy Star.
Yep.
Fade Into You.
That's classic.
Love that song.
What other movie is that in? I know it's in a bunch, but I mean, Empire Records or something prominently?
It's all over. Mazzy Star is one of my favorite bands. I love really? So much. Yeah.
I don't know any of their other songs, I don't think.
Look On Down From the Bridge.
How's that go? Look On Down From the Bridge. Is that how it goes?
You're not too far off. It's a funeral. It has like a funeral organ. Like, look on down from the bridge.
Oh, baby.
My next one, I think this is Jessica or Misty watching on their TV in her prison, Jessica's prison. They're watching a Shake Weights commercial.
Oh. I thought I saw that, but I thought I was like, I don't think I saw Shake Weights.
Oh, there were Shake Weights.
They were Shake Weights. They were doing them weird. They were doing them this way. Not,
they weren't doing the skiing.
Excuse me, they were doing them east to west, not east to west. Which I thought was weird.
Stop it.
<I'm sorry. laughs> Steve, don't do anything weird with this edit.
Okay, I won't. I promise not to.
I couldn't look away.
Neither could Jessica.
It's true.
That was all the egos I had.
Yeah, that's what I had.
Me too. I'm cash out. This bowl is cashed. Now it's time for our favorite performance of the episode. There is pressure to this, folks, because the winner, whoever picks the right one. No, I just made that up. I couldn't go anywhere with it.
Surprise.
Is a quiche, a leftover half of a broccoli cheddar quiche.
Who wants some cold quiche?
Steve. No, Madison.
Me?
Who? You British shake waiting son of a bitch. Who are you giving the award for the best performance of episode 8?
Again, this was really hard. Yeah. And I think I'm going to be... Is it possible to give it to 2? Is that possible?
Can no.
We We're at war, Madison.
Steve also breaks the rules constantly.
I don't give it to 2. I do give shout outs.
He'll be like, shout out to... Is it? Which relieves some of my pressure for not mentioning... I respect it. We're just here to applaud the show and have fun and enjoy it. Do what you got to do.
I think my, well, I'll say this. I think that, because the two that I want to say, which is Laura Lee and Jackie, they're, because they're lower characters, they can equal as like one main character. I'll say that. But I think, you know, Laura Lee stepped up a lot in this episode. We only had her in a couple of scenes, but I was kind of, you know, I think the main cast had a good performance as well. But I think, you know, these actors had their moments, especially Laura Lee, and they did their moments really well in the show. And then I also chose Jackie because
Jane Widdop is Laura Lee.
Oh, yes.
I never knew her name.
I don't think I have her. See, exactly. That's why, you know, two smaller characters equal one. But
out
Jackie,
of two, one.
And then Jackie, who is Ella Purnell. I mean, the fact that we hate her so much means that she's doing an amazing job at her character. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's so, she's good. Yeah. She's great. She, again, I've said this before. She is the voice of Jinx on the show Arcane.
Yeah.
Which is an incredible animated show.
Yeah. So I wanted to give these actors the appraisal for their work because I feel like, you know, they're not characters that we normally get to see a lot.
I respect that. Yeah. I do. Steve?
This was a hard one. I'm still not super, because you could give this to so many people this episode.
That's why I went lower, because I was like, I can't, it's so hard to pick the main cast.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I'm going with Tawny Cypress. Mm.
Awesome.
She continues to absolutely crush this role. I'm loving that we get to see the more vulnerable side to adult Thaisa. Her heart to heart with Shauna, that was all great stuff. But then even when she has that moment with Simone where she's like, I need you guys to get out of the house. Like, I feel like I'm going to harm you. Like, that is very genuine emotion. And she continues to always impress in a show full of women who are always impressing.
Agreed. Look, you're going to think the game is rigged when I give you my choice. But it's
not. Let me guess.
Ooh.
Guess.
Oh, you said, hold on. I was going to say Christina Ricci, but now
it's Christina Ricci.
The baby.
The baby. But look, here's what I think.
She was great too.
She was great. But they're all great.
I think it's really tough to do the character. Like to the untrained eye, but like at a glance, it might look like, oh, it's comedic relief. She's playing the crazy bitch or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of depth to Misty, a ton. And yeah. I think that playing constantly unhinged earnestness is not an easy thing. Mm-hmm. And then she pulls it off, but she also does seem quite dangerous, you know, underneath all of that. There's a lot going on, and all of the roles that she's ever played in her life have led her up to this moment, right? Like everything from like Black Snake Moan to Wednesday Addams. It's like, she's perfectly cast for Misty. But yeah, I think you guys are right. I mean, you could have thrown a dartboard at the casting list from this episode and been like, yep.
I mean, with Christina Ricci in particular, that moment that she turns on a dime from like bluffing Jessica, she turns to immediately caring for her bird, and then just like, I'm just having a really hard day. Like just that,
yeah.
That shift is so drastic, but she nails it.
Yeah. Yep.
I also think I said through a dartboard, which
I mean, you could throw a dartboard.
You don't want to throw the whole board. That's not going to be effective. I suck at this game. But that's all the time. That's all the time we have. We've finished covering episode 8. Look forward to 9 and 10 next week. Email the show, streamingthingspod@gmail.com, to join the mailbag part. It's coming up very soon.
Mailbag.
Do a British one for me.
Okay. Mailbag. That was so bad. Mailbag.
Do a shake weight one for me.
In a British accent?
Mailbag.
Mailbag.
What was mine?
I don't know.
I panicked with the shake weights. But also, you can join our Patreon if you're so inclined at patreon.com/streamingthings. You can subscribe at a variety of tiers and get a whole plethora of bonuses and rewards and support the show that way if you can. If you are financially stressed in any way, please don't do that. You can support us for free by just listening to the show, tell your friends about it, rate and review the show wherever you're listening to us. And we appreciate you very much.
And you only have a few more days to buy a Last of Us t-shirt. the Pills Baby and Tony Time shirts. They're going to be gone after the end of this week. You only have a couple more days. Make sure to do that if you have not already and want to.
You're running out of Tony Time.
Running out of Tony Time. And if you, after this week, I disappear like Marty McFly's brother and sister, that photograph from that movie.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Oh, it's Sniper Tone here, and I've been instructed by the boys via radio to read you the brand new patrons in the month of March. These are people who have an extra set of mirth in their hearts, and they are truly the last line of defense between Streaming Things and a total economic collapse. So in the try before deny section, I want to thank Luke and Sarah, Conrad and Trey Barrera. In the Marty B VIP section, we're thanking Tamara. Oh, old Tony's going to mispronounce this one, that's for sure. Jir Latanowitz. Oh, I mispronounced that just like I misfire my rifle. Brianna Bernard, we thank you. Elizabeth Palmer, Josh Stitch, and John Ricker. Oh, thank you all so much. In the chocolate pudding producer sections, we have Lair Gillis, Maha Axholtz. I probably missed that one too. Thank you to Jordan C., Kelly Shartner, Natalie Cleland, Sonny. Oh, it has not been sunny here in quite some time. Thank you to Wayne Yopst. Oh, I think the world has passed Tony by. Tony does not know what that word is. Yopst. Thank you to Shotzi, Brock Burick, Alicia Takahashi, Gabe, Quentin Vassa, Teresa Schwimmer, and Rob Westendorf. And last but not least, we have our friends Don't Lie to thank. Those friends are Taj Allah and Melissa Worcester. You know what old Tone used to shoot a Worcester back in his day? Or was it a Winchester? I don't know. I'm Sniper Tone. My mind is frail. I got to get back to protecting Kansas City. What? It's already on fire. Oh, Tony, you done it again.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.